2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul has this to say of the day of Christ to come, when Christ shall return in power to judge this world and all that lives therein. He says in verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day of Christ shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." In the midst of this, speaking of those who receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, Paul says this: "For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." Strong delusion. Now we live in days where it is perfectly evident, if you look around, either in society as a whole or in the religious world, that this is a day full of strong delusion. Strong delusion. The world and its media and the messages which go out, which influence the people, constantly preach a message set diametrically against the truth of God and his gospel. The world says emphatically, there is no God. Or if there is a God, there are many gods. Or if there is a God, there are many ways to attain unto God, to reach God. Or if there is a life after death, there are many ways to reach unto that life. They will say many things, but they will not own the one true living God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will not own that there is one way unto salvation. The world is set against God and his gospel. Why? Because it is strongly deluded. And from whence comes this strong delusion? It comes because God sent them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. And why did he do this? Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And receiving it not, God sent them that which they cried out for, that which they longed for. They long to be masters of their own destiny. They long to worship themselves and not God. They long to have pleasure in this world rather than in the world to come. They long to have their own way. They long to worship their own opinion. So God has said of them, "All right then, go your way. Have your pleasure now. Believe the lie you create. Eat, drink, and be merry. Prosper. Have it your way." But in the end, you will be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. The world is in strong delusion. And not just the world, but the religious world. If you look upon the masses of churches, of which there are many of one description or another, whether they are those churches and congregations professing to follow Christ, or whether they are of the various other religions which have grown up in this world, you see these various religions and churches prosper and grow. You see them have their followers, many of which are devout. And yet you hardly hear a word of the truth in their midst. They follow a strong delusion. And they reject Christ and his gospel. They think all these things are in their hands. They set themselves to their various ends. They set themselves to growing in number and influencing the world around them and sending forth their various messages that they might have their various converts and proselytes. And they use various means to these ends, and they meet with great success in many quarters. Where God's church and God's people find themselves persecuted, cast out, scattered, and often in twos and threes. There are many congregations which prosper greatly, which have their hundreds in their midst, and have all their programs to evangelize the community around them, and to cater for every class of society. Their programs for children and young people, for single mothers, for the drug addicts, for the drunkards, for the lost and the lonely, for those with debt and financial troubles. They have an answer for every problem. And meeting the social problems of the day, their numbers are added to. And they gather with their great joy and their great bonhomie one to another. And they gather with their great musical entertainment that they call worship. And they grow and they prosper. And yet God says of them that for this cause that they receive not the love of the truth, for this cause God has sent them strong delusion. And what they think is doing God service is a delusion. And what they proclaim to be right is in reality a lie. And what they think is leading unto everlasting life is really leading unto damnation, because they believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They have a Jesus, if they profess his name, who endorses all the sin of this world and all the pleasure and wickedness that men indulge in, whilst also promising them everlasting life. They want everything now and everything to come. And they tell people that they can have everything now and everything to come. And that God judges them not. That they can have all the riches of this world. And indulge in all its filthy entertainment. And God is not against this, but he's for it. Because he's a God of love. And because he's a God of love, you can do what you like. And he won't mind. So they run after their strong delusion. But they don't run after the truth. Yes, there's a strong delusion in our land and our world in the day in which we live, both in the general world at large and in the religious world, even in that that professes to follow God. They will accept anything and embrace any idea except the truth of God's gospel. Accept the reality of a sovereign God. Accept the reality that justification is by faith alone. That salvation is at the command of God. That Christ died for his people. And he did everything necessary to save that people. That he wrought righteousness. That he came to save them from their sins and to deliver them from their sins. And to lead them in a different way, not to leave them there. that he has separated a people unto himself, delivered them from this world and all its persuasion and all its thinking, that he has sanctified them, washed them clean, that he has chosen a people unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. This is the people whom God saves, and this is salvation. And yet the world and its religion will receive anything but that. Anything but a God who chooses a people unto sanctification, and chooses a people unto salvation through sanctification, separation of the Spirit, and belief of the truth. And yet that's exactly what Paul says is the manner in which God saves. It's exactly what he quotes here in verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Not we give thanks unto you because you have chosen to follow Jesus. Not we give thanks unto you because you have chosen to join our church. Not we give thanks unto you because you live in this world happy to continue in its indulgences while proclaiming Jesus' name. But we give thanks unto God that he hath chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who believed and those who were saved and those who would inherit eternal life at the time at which Paul wrote were not those who were sent strong delusion, were not those who believed the lie, were not those who rejected the gospel, but were those who heard the gospel, by which God called them unto salvation, by which he made known unto them that he had chosen them from the beginning of the world, from the beginning of time, from before the beginning of the world. He had chosen them in eternity past in Christ before ever they were born, before ever they lived, before ever they did a good or an evil thing, before ever they made a decision. They were chosen to be saved before ever they came to the point of hearing about Jesus Christ and have any thoughts of whether they should follow him or reject him. God knew them from all eternity. God sent his Son into this world to lay down his life in their stead, that he might take their sins away, that their sins might be judged not in them but in another, in their substitute, that his blood should be shed rather than their blood, that he should die rather than they should die, and that they through his death and the judgment of their sins in him should be brought into everlasting life, should be made righteous. God chose them to that end, and that is why in the fullness of time they came to hear the gospel, and why they received the gospel, why they believed the gospel, why they turned from lies and a strong delusion, and had pleasure in the truth, not in unrighteousness. And that is why they were saved, when others would be damned. You either follow the delusions and the lies, which comes from that wicked one, from Satan with all his power and signs and lying wonders, and all deceivableness of unrighteousness which he has wrought in them that perish. You either believe the truth in the gospel, or you receive a strong delusion, which Satan spins. But which Satan only does as God sends him forth to do his bidding. For Satan, though he thinks he does his own will, and though he rejoices over those whom he leads into destruction, and though he thinks that he is winning a battle against Almighty God, Satan is simply a puppet in God's hand. And everything he does and everything he rejoices in, he does only as God, the sovereign God, the Almighty God says, go on then. Go on then. Delude those. But you won't touch these. Because these are mine, whom I chose from the beginning through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth unto everlasting life. Yes, you're either strongly deluded or you believe the truth. There's no middle ground. There's no apathy. You believe a lie or you believe the truth. And if you're spared from the strong delusion, if you're spared from that delusion that permeates the whole world's thinking and all the thinking of false religion, if you're spared from it, it's not because you're any better than any other. It's not because you study the Word of God. It's not because you had greater wisdom. It's simply because God by grace chose you. God by grace looked upon you as a wicked sinner, just as wicked and deluded as everyone else, and said, but this one, I will open his eyes. This one I will lead unto righteousness. This one I will save. This one I love, for no other reason but that I have pleasure in choosing to love him. This one I will give my son for, as a ransom, as a redemption price. This one will hear the truth. This one will believe. This one will be saved. If we're spared from this strong delusion, which so greatly works in our day, if we're spared from it, it's by God's grace and God's grace alone. We've nothing to boast in, nothing whatsoever. When we look around and we see the errors of so many, when we see the evil in the world, when we see the way the world is rushing headlong towards destruction, when we see how our nation overturns righteous laws from a former age and turns its back on the things of God and undoes all the godly influence which was in its midst from former days when the gospel was preached in our land, when we see our nation embracing evil laws and when it calls black white and white black, when it tramples underfoot the word of God, when we see the media put out its lies, continuously rejecting the existence of God, continuously rejecting the idea that there is a creator, continuously rejecting the idea that there is such thing as righteousness, as good and evil, continuously rejecting the idea that there is life after death and that there is a judgment to come, that man is accountable. When we see the media pump out its lies and the people following after it lemon-like as they jump off the cliff into destruction, when we see this going on in the world around us, and when we look upon the churches and those who profess Christ's name, and we see the multitude of errors which are embraced, and the evil that has come into the churches, the sheer evil in which those who are godless take the name of Jesus on their lips and talk about building up his kingdom and talk about having converts in their churches when they have evil in their hearts and reject the truth utterly. And when they dress and speak and act like the world around them without a single change in their heart, but they take Jesus' name on their lips blasphemously. When we see all these things going on, let us be mindful. Let us be mindful, believers, that there but for the grace of God go I. And there but for the grace of God, there until the grace of God came our way, there we went. For we were as deluded as the rest. And except God opens our eyes, except he brings the sound of the gospel to our ears, except he looks upon us and says of this one and that one, live, then there we remain dead, blind and lost. However religious we might have claimed to be, except God open our eyes, it doesn't matter how religious you are, except God opens your eyes, you will be blind. Believing a lie, rejecting the truth, despising the truth of God, despising the truth of the gospel. When one comes unto you and says that God saves those whom he has chosen, whom he has elected unto salvation from the beginning. When one says that to a natural man, the natural man, however religious he claims to be, says, no. No, that's not fair. I hate that. Take your Calvinism away. Take your election away. I will not have it. And yet that is exactly what the Word of God says. We give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. You could not be more categorically clear. Not you have chosen, but God hath chosen you to salvation. It's one or the other. You can make your choice and go to hell with your choice in your hand, doing nothing for you. With a paper Jesus and a scroll of paper, taking a refuge in lies, you can go to hell with such an idea, such a strong delusion, that you simply choose to be saved. Or you can go to glory, having heard the gospel, having had your ears opened and your eyes opened to see, knowing that you go to glory for one reason only, because God in grace freely chose you in Christ Jesus from the foundation of this world. Because God in grace have chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. It's one or the other. You either believe the gospel or you reject it. And this is the gospel. And there is no other. There is no other gospel. There's not a right gospel and a slightly wrong gospel. There's not Christianity, all of which preaches the gospel, some of which is purer than the rest. There is one gospel and there are lies. And that which says that God does not choose unto salvation, but man makes the choice, God leaves it unto him to choose. Or man must turn over a new leaf, or man has to contribute some form of works righteousness. That which overturns this gospel is a lie. And no matter who they are, no matter what name they call their church, no matter what they call their gospel, whether they be the Church of England, whether they be the Church of Rome, whether they be Presbyterian, whether they be Baptist, whether they be Brethren, whether they be Methodist, whether they be Evangelical, if they say that salvation is by the decision of man, the choice of man, and not the choice of God, then they are taking refuge in a refuge of lies. They are under a strong delusion. A strong delusion. They have believed a lie. And they have believed a lie because God has given them what they want. They would believe it. They would reject the truth. They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So God hardened their hard hearts like he hardened Pharaoh's heart of old. They would fight against God, so God made them harder in their opposition. They would reject the truth and he hardened them in it. So God sent them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And it's unrighteous to believe that man can save himself. It's unrighteous to believe that man's decision contributes to his salvation. It's unrighteous to despise the electing free grace of God. And yet this strong delusion is rampant. And the only way that any of us will be spared from it is if God sends his gospel in power by his Spirit and opens our ears to hear it. It's grace. It's grace. Yes, there's strong delusion. We see the delusion of our day in many facets and many aspects. In the world around, the first delusion which is promoted greatly is that there is no God. None of these things matter, they say. None of what you believe matters. The Bible doesn't matter. Going to church, worshipping doesn't matter. None of it matters because there simply is no God. This was for a former age, a former generation, a simpler people than us sophisticated, intelligent people in the 21st century today. There is no God, they say, so it doesn't matter. There's nothing after death. There's no such thing as sin. There is no God. We're just here. We're just an accident. It's just scientific principles has brought this world into being and sustains it. Well, this is a lie, an obvious lie, a ridiculous lie. A lie which appeals to man in his blindness and folly, but which everything speaks against. The heavens, the creation, everything around cries out and says there is a God. God's fingerprints are in all the world and all creation. God is the one that keeps every heart beating, every breath breathing. We wouldn't even be stood here able to discuss whether God is real or not if it wasn't that God kept us alive and gave us the breath to discuss it. And yet God has sent them strong delusion that they as fools should say in their hearts there is no God. But where the masses follow after this delusion, the few whom God has looked upon in grace in his Son, go another way. For Christ knew, and Christ knows, that there is a God. Because he is the Son of God. And he dwelt with God from all eternity. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And in eternity past, he and his Father covenanted that the Son should come into this world of sinners, into this dark and evil world, and he should be made a man, God made man, and he should come made a little lower than the angels, even for the suffering of death. He knew there's a God. And as God, as the Son of God, he came into this world of men to save a people, to lead a people unto that God, to make known that God, to make known his salvation, to make known his truth, to make known the wonders of his grace. Man in his blind delusion shuts his ears and his eyes and says there is no God. But Christ came in the midst of the darkness to make the light of God known in this dark and evil world. And you will not know God, and you will not know for truth that there is a God, until you come to know Christ and hear his voice in the gospel. But he came. He was born. Emmanuel, God with us. God came and walked with man that he should make known that there is a God and there is a judgment to come. But I, for those whom I love, am come in my Son to die in their place, to save them. Oh, there is a God, but you will only know that God if you hear the voice of his Son. And those that hear the voice of his Son, though they be dead in the grave, will live. Another delusion is that if there is a God, if there is an afterlife, then all religions lead to him. There are many religions in this world, but we can see that there is common ground amongst them. These religions speak of a life to come. They speak of a God. They speak of worshipping. They're all trying to get to the same place in the end, just by different means. And we can see that those who follow Islam, or those who are Buddhist, or those who are Hindu, all these things, we can see that these are devout people, serious people, just as serious as the Christians. What makes one religion more right than the other religion? They're all devout, they're all serious. If they are right, then they're all right. If there's anything in this, then they're all right. If there is a God, then surely all roads lead to God. What does it matter whether I'm Catholic or Protestant? Whether I'm Hindu or Islamic, what does it matter? As long as I'm serious and sincere in my beliefs, as long as I try to live right, then all roads will lead to God. And yet this delusion, though it deludes many, simply takes all on its road, along a broad road that leads unto destruction. There are many roads which all converge in one. And yes, they are heading one way, but they're not heading unto God. For For the only road that leads unto God, the only way that leads unto God, is the Lord Jesus Christ. For as he said, he is the way, the truth and the life. And you will only know the Father, you will only know God by him. You will only be led to God through him. You will only come to know the truth of God through him. And you will only know what it is to be delivered from the death of this world and to come into eternal life and to have life after you die in this world. When your 70 years comes to an end and you pass through, you will only know what it is to have eternal life if you know Christ. He made an exclusive and an absolute claim, and either he is a liar because that claim is not exclusive to him, but is true of Muhammad and all these others. Or his claim is true. It's one or the other. There is no possibility that Christianity can be true and other religions can be true. There is no possibility because Christianity makes exclusive claims. Christ says plainly that he is the one mediator between God and man. That there is only one way to be saved, which is to believe on him and on his name. He says plainly that he alone is the only way unto God the Father. He alone is eternal life. He alone is the one by whom we will know the truth. Then either he alone is right and all others are wrong, or he is a liar, in which case you have no more reason to believe anything that Christianity says as any other religion says, and you might as well treat them all as lies. But Christ is no liar. And he really did come. And he really is the way, the truth and the life. And if you ever come to hear his voice in his gospel, and if you ever come to hear the Spirit of God making him known, you will know that he alone is the Saviour of sinners. And everything else is a lie that leads unto destruction. Another delusion is that that which is new is better than that which is old. Oh, how this is permeated in these days. Oh, we live in the 21st century with our great advancements, with our increase in knowledge and our electronics and our computers and our gadgets, and how the masses follow after the sorcerers and wizards and conjurers that waltz out their latest invention before men. And how the worshippers go after these signs and wonders in our day. How they bring out their gadgets, and the people would rather worship that which is created of man than the God who gives man life. How they go after these things, and they say that we in our generation are wiser and smarter than the previous generation because we know how to make these things and they didn't. The reality is the opposite. The reality is that modern man is not as intelligent as the former generation. And whilst he can invent gadgets, he has no wisdom on life and on eternal matters. In his wisdom, he has become a fool, as Romans tells us. He has his knowledge and he can make his great inventions, but he has no answers for those problems that people really have. Man's problem is not how to surf the web. Man's problem is not how to organise his telephone contacts. Man's problem is not how to while away his idle moments in entertainment. Man's problem is the sin in his heart and his eternal destiny. And none of these wizards and intelligent men in our day have any answer or any hope to present to a generation which has lost its way. They lead our young people astray with their music and their ideals and their seeking after riches and their pleasure and their outward ways. They say that happiness is in how you dress, how you appear, what you drink, where you go. And yet the suicide level and the depression in our society and amongst young people has never been greater because there's no hope in these things. And they have them save up all their money to spend on all these things that they think will bring pleasure when really they just bring misery because they have the one thing and they're after the following thing. They breed a spirit of covetousness in the ages. There's no hope in these things. They have no answers for eternal matters. And the new is not better than the old. They have no answer to death. the well-known leader of a very large electronics company, which is adored the world over by its followers. I won't bother naming him. But he recently died, a youngish man. And he had no answer for that which killed him. However much men may speak of him, however great they may adore these characters, they've got no answer for death. And that's what people need to hear. They need to hear the truth about God, about life and death, about their state before God, about the world to come, about where they stand before a holy God, about their need of salvation. They need to hear of Jesus Christ. And they will hear that in a gospel which has been preached from the beginning of time, unaltered. Unaltered. Christ knew that truth is unchanging, from everlasting unto everlasting. And he knew that the covenant, the new covenant made between his Father and him and the Spirit of God, which actually predates that which is called the Old Covenant in the Scriptures, he knows that that covenant, that everlasting covenant, is the means by which man will be saved. New is not better than old, except in the naming of the covenants. Another delusion is that there is might in numbers. That there is might in numbers. That if more people think one thing, then they must be more right than those who think another thing. That if only a few think one thing, they're surely wrong. Oh, so many people could not be wrong. And people think that where there are large congregations in churches, that proves the blessing of God upon them. And how mocked and scoffed those tiny congregations that seek to hold on to the truth are. But this is a delusion. And everywhere throughout the scriptures it constantly tells us that this is a delusion. Gideon was sent forth with 300 to fight thousands and roar to victory because his strength was not in numbers, not in man, not in man's might, but in his God. And Christ knew that strength is not in numbers. For Christ wrought the salvation of his people during the hours upon the cross in which he hung alone on the cross in the darkness. He saved the countless multitude as he hung alone. All the world rejected him. They all despised him. Even his disciples in his hour of need left him. And yet alone, one man saved the countless multitude. There's not might in numbers. Another delusion is that God loves all. And God wants all men to be saved. And as God is a God of love, then surely all sin will be forgiven. God won't judge it because he's a God of love. He'll turn his face, he'll turn his back upon it. He'll forget about it. All will be forgiven in the end. So it doesn't really matter how we live. If there is a God, if there is a heaven, if there is salvation, then all of us will be saved because God's such a loving God. He won't judge me for my sins, and all will be saved. And how this is preached by the churches in the end. How many worldly people go to the Church of England, for example, and they take their late mother or father who's just died to the funeral service held by the priest in the Church of England, who effectively prays a prayer before the people, convincing everyone that this so-and-so, who never stepped foot in a church in their life, who never read the Bible, who never had a good word to say for Jesus Christ and his gospel, this rogue in society is going to heaven because he's British, because he was sprinkled at birth by his parents, therefore he's saved. And because God is so loving, that he surely wouldn't judge this one or that one. They've lived a fairly decent life by and large, haven't they? What a delusion this is, and how many accept it and embrace it. But God, though he is a God of love, is also a God of righteousness. And God will judge sin. It will either be judged in us for all eternity when we stand before God and give an account of our deeds, both good and bad, throughout all our life. And if we have nothing to say for our evil deeds, then we will pay for them forevermore. It will either be judged in us, or it must be judged in another. If it's not judged in us, it must have been judged in Jesus Christ as our substitute. Christ's salvation came at a price. Christ saves his own, but he saves them because he died for them, because God would judge their sins, because sin must be judged. It cannot be swept aside. He died in their place. And Christ knows that he loves his own. He knows God is love because he is God and he knows his love. But he knows what that love cost him. He knows that in order to save those whom he loved, he gave himself for them. And he knows that it was in death, through his death, that he knew the judgment and wrath of God poured out upon him for those whom he loves. God's love is not at the expense of judgment. And Christ knew that more than any other, because in his death, he swallowed up the wrath of God for those whom he loves. And only through his death, and only through his life, and only through believing upon him and what he did on that cross in the place of sinners, only through his death will we know life. There's no other way but through the cross. No other way. A related delusion is that God wants to save everyone, that he's attempting to, that he sends forth his message and is trying to persuade people to believe it. And he stands, as it were, frustrated when people turn their backs on it and mock it and scoff it, and he can hardly do anything about it. But he wants everyone to be saved. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. Yet this stands in direct opposition to this passage, because if God wants all men to be saved, then why does it say that for this cause, that because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved, that for this cause God sent them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness? This lie that God wants all men to be saved is utterly destroyed by this passage. This cannot stand up in the face of that. God sent them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they should be damned. God did this. Then why would God do that if he's trying to save them? He would not. He sent them strong delusion that they should be damned who had pleasure in unrighteousness and would not receive the truth. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. There are those who hear the gospel, who believe, who were chosen of God unto salvation. Those whom he wants and has saved. Those whom he loves with an eternal love. Those whom he elected with an eternal election. Those whom he saved with an accomplished salvation upon the cross. He saves everyone whom he purposes to save, and the rest he has sent a strong delusion. And the rest he determinedly damns. Like it or not, it is rubbish to even try to attempt to say that God loves and wants to save all men in the face of passages like this. You have to chop the Bible up and throw it in the bin. But those who believe a strong delusion and a lie do exactly that. They get their translations, they chop out the passages they don't like, they twist all the other passages, they alter the words, and eventually they get their Bible saying just what they want it to say. Deluded. Finally, it is a delusion that anything we do, will, or work, any of our works or our attempts to be righteous, contribute to salvation. It's a strong, strong, strong delusion that something that we do can help to save ourselves. And this is the prevalent teaching throughout just about every form of religion the world over. Every religion is about what you do to be saved. Whether you're a Hindu, a Muslim, a Buddhist, or a so-called Christian, they're all teaching the same thing, that you live right and God will bless you. You walk in the right way and God will bless you and salvation will be yours. God just wants us to live by his Ten Commandments. Just live right and God, as a God of love, will save you. Or just choose Jesus. Make the right decision. And as a consequence, you will be saved. All you've got to do is receive him. God puts the money down on the table, but if you don't pick it up, it's not yours. So in the end, although God's done 99% of the work, the final 1% is your taking. If you don't do that, then you're lost. But effectively, they make it 99% you, because it all hinges on you taking. This is a lie, because we have no strength to take it. We're dead, like Lazarus in the tomb. We can't get out of the tomb to take it. We can't make ourselves live. We're dead. Dead, utterly dead. We have no strength, and our wills are set as dead wills against God. We will not believe the truth, because we will believe a lie, because we've received not the love of the truth. We love the delusion which is around us. And if we're spared from it, it's by nothing that we do, say, or will. It's because God sends his gospel. His gospel of grace to open our ears to hear. Christ knew more than anyone that salvation is by grace, because he wrought that salvation, and he knew that except he came into this world, except he laid down his life as a substitute in the place of sinners, except he swallowed up the wrath of God against the sins of his people, then in the grave they would lay. He knew it was by grace, and it could only be by grace. And he knew that that grace was received through faith, and that that faith was a God-given gift, and it could only be. When he died upon the cross, he went there as a work of faith. He went there believing that God would do all that he promised. He gave himself freely to save those who would not and could not save themselves. He hung upon the cross believing that God would judge their sins, and that through judging them in him, through slaying him, that they would live. He knew it was by grace. And knowing it's by grace, having risen again victorious, having wrought a mighty salvation, a mighty victory, having wrought this gospel, knowing it's by grace, he has not rested even until this day, and he does not rest in this day, and he will never rest until the end of time, until he has sent forth the message of that gospel by his Spirit in power to every single one for whom he died. For in this world full of delusion, in this strongly deluded world, he sends forth preachers sent by God who speak by his Spirit to find out those who are lost in trespasses and sins, to find them out, who are under strong delusion, believing a lie. He finds them out and he comes to them in his gospel and says unto them, "This is the truth. I am the way, the truth and the life. I came into this world named Jesus to save my people from their sins. I am the only mediator between God and men. I am the only one who can save your soul. God is real. Everlasting life is real, and I come to bring it to those whom I love." And he comes unto those who are dead and blind and says unto them, "Sinner, thy sins be forgiven thee. Take up thy bed and walk. Hear and live." And he comes in power to declare that this is the truth, and everything else is a lie sent by the father of lies, the devil. You either receive and hear this gospel from Christ as he comes unto you, or you are those who are believing a lie, however religious, however many you might be in your meetings. Wherever you might go, whatever you might say, you either hear and believe this gospel or you are dead. Yet Christ comes in power to those whom God hath from the beginning chosen unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. He comes unto them that they should hear this gospel, and that through hearing it they should obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that you? Have you heard this gospel? Has he loved you from all eternity? Do you know that he is the only way unto everlasting life? Do you believe a strong delusion? Or do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen.